ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhagavad Gita class. So today's verse is from chapter 3, and it's text 12. You can take a copy if you like. Oh, okay, sorry. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Tairdatan apradaya yaibhyo. Tairdatan apradaya yaibhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Yobhunte stena evasa. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Terdatan apradayebhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Istan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Tairdatan apradayebhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Tairdatan apradayebhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Would you like to try? Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Terdatan apradayebhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Terdatan apradayebhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva. Dasyante yagya bhavita. Tairdatan apradayebhyo. Yobhunte stena evasa. Ishtan desired. Bhogan, necessities of life. He, certainly. Va, unto you. Deva, the demigods. Dasyante, will award. Yagya, that's yagya bhavita. So yagya bhavita, being satisfied by the performance of sacrifices. How do I say this? Tahi, by them. Datan, things given. Apradaya, without offering. Ebhaya, to these demigods. Ya, he who. Bhunte, enjoys. Stenaha, thief. Eva, certainly. Sa, he. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, or sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So we can repeat. In charge of the various necessities of life,
in charge
of the various necessities of life,
the demigods
being satisfied by the performance of yagya,
sacrifice,
will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Purport. The demigods are authorized supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yagyas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yagyas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yagyas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely, according to the different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature. And before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those who are in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. But ultimately, all yagyas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yagyas, known as Pancha Maha Yagya, are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that the human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Take, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, sugar, etc. for the persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians. Like meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take, for example, heat, light, water, air, etc., which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by the human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, breeze, etc., without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely, liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajñas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in the material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have any knowledge of how to perform yajñas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajña, namely the Sankirtan yajña, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, or sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you, but he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Already in the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada so carefully defines who he is speaking about in terms of what he means when he says the demigods. The demigods are authorized supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. We also learn that the demigods assume very exalted positions. It's not a very common thing that one jiva just gets put in place of a demigod or another, and when that's over, another. The demigods are those who have performed many different pious activities, or their piety has built up to such an extent that they can actually occupy the position of Indra or Brahma. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, by one of his disciples, we are doing the chanting of the holy names, and you say sometimes the demigods are present and that they are very exalted personalities and we should respect them. And you say that some of your disciples are demigods that have actually come down to be part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And so the disciple asks, what happens if one of us desires to become one of the demigods after quitting this material body? And Srila Prabhupada said that it's not an easy thing to just become a demigod or occupy the post of a demigod like the demigod in charge of creation, or Brahma, for example. It said that after many lifetimes of piety, what to speak of piety, but celibacy and many other different pious attributes need to be found in one to occupy such a position. But at the same time, although they are such exalted individuals, we do not worship them on the same level as the Supreme Lord or Krishna. This kind of exclusive devotion is for Krishna only. And here the distinction is clearly telling us that these are authorized agents on behalf of Krishna, and they are supplying the different necessities for humankind. Yet, these demigods, they should be supplied, they supply us, but they should be pleased by performance of yajna. So the Vedas, they outline very specific types of yajñas that should be performed for pleasing and appeasing different demigods. Worship to the sun god, worship of Indra. And we know the famous pastime that Krishna enacted with Indra, which was my next point. Because although these very many sacrifices are outlined in the Vedas as prescribed sacrifices for humankind, sometimes people mistake the demigods for being the Supreme Lord. I mean, the Vedas are not very clear on who the Supreme Lord is, because the glorification of the demigods, such as Indra, Rudra, it's quite bewildering. It's like, oh, Supreme, All-Pervading Lord. These kind of glorifications are presented to the various demigods. But, I mean, the Upanishads, the Gyanakanda section, gives us the knowledge that actually these are agents of the Supreme Lord. That there is actually this one, three localized aspects of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But ultimately this Supreme or Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna. And Krishna says, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. And that may not be very clear, but we do understand that the goal is ultimately Krishna. And yeah, in the Leela with Indra, it sort of seemed that Indra himself had gotten carried away. That he actually did think, okay, I am the king of heaven. Who is this little boy? You know, why did he stop? Who is he to stop the sacrifice that is meant to please me? You know, I control the rain. Indra actually thought that he is the controller of the rain instead of the supplier on behalf of Krishna. And it's not just Indra who thinks like that. It seems that there's a bit of Indra in all of us. Sometimes we think that we are the controller, or, you know, that we are the doer. But actually everything that we do is just using or manipulating the energy of Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Proprietor of everything. So like that, if we get carried away, like Indra, and sometimes think, okay, you know, I'm supplying this or I'm doing this, Krishna has his ways of reminding us that we're not in control. We're not actually the doer or the owner of even the necessities of human life, which the demigods are supplying or meant to supply. But at the same time, it's not that we disrespect them. Sri Prabhupada very clearly mentions, especially in relation to the sun, or the sun god, for example, that we appreciate, we pay respects, we pay homage and thanks to the sun god and other exalted personalities who are so kindly supplying these necessities to us on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Yes, the section or the Vedas that describe these various religious practices or karma kanda, they're meant for people who cannot directly accept the Supreme Lord. In the sense that, you know, they cannot just sort of drop their attachment for the fruits of their actions, basically. But yet, they're willing to sacrifice some of those fruits to the demigods, who are agents and on their pathway to Krishna. We have like Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga. So this is the Sakama part, where we have some kind of attachment, but, or motive, that's the correct word, motive, but the point is that although we perform these daily activities and we have these fruits through sacrifice, we're willing to offer the fruits of this labor, and thereby some kind of sacrifice regulates us in this sense. And it regulates those people who are not able to directly surrender unto the Supreme Person. And it eventually brings them to a state of Nishkama Karma Yoga, where one can work for the Supreme Lord. Okay, but one who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. A famous example of Srila Prabhupada quotes is how we cannot even manufacture a grain of sand. He speaks about glass, and he looks at different items of furniture, for example. And he says, yes, this glass is made from... He spoke to a famous manufacturer of a big glass manufacturing company, and he said, where are you getting your materials from? And he was like, this and that supply, and Prabhupada goes, but yes, but not even one grain of sand can be manufactured by you. You cannot be attributed to manufacture of that basic raw material which your business is thriving on. You take it and you manipulate it and use it and make thousands from it. That's your income. But the fact remains that that grain of sand, all those billions of grains of sand, don't even belong to you. They belong to Krishna. You cannot even manufacture this little grain of sand into such quantities to use by yourself. You have to take it from nature, from Krishna. So taking that without attributing the cause or paying homage or thanks to the creator or the one who actually owns this makes one a thief. I mean, can you imagine if you own something and I just come along and decide to take it for my use and earn billions from it? I mean, I think there are even copyright laws and patents in place in the modern world to prevent one from doing such a thing. Isn't that so? So can you imagine? We're doing this to Krishna all the time without violating any patent laws or copyright laws. And yet Krishna is so kind that he allows these kind of things to happen without... I can't say without any consequences at all, because we are responsible for our own karma. But the point is that Krishna is supplying all these necessities for us through the demigods in such a kind manner. Prabhupada always mentions that we don't pray, "Oh Krishna, give us our daily bread," because Krishna is so kindly supplying this already. He's supplying it not only to human beings but to the animals. To every living entity, whatever he needs, Krishna is already supplying. Even those who cannot ask him, "Please supply me with my grains of sand or loaves of bread or the air I breathe." We're already doing it. And he's already supplying. And of course, through his authorized agents. But yes, if we do not acknowledge them at all, or acknowledge the Supreme Lord directly at all, then we're considered thieves. And Burijan Prabhu, there's something I'd like to read from Sarandantami. "A thief is punished by the state. The thieves who live within this world without repaying the demigods for the amenities they have used are punished by Yamaraj. Followers of the Vedic system, even though they have material desires, are not punished. Rather, they are elevated by their submission to the Vedic system. The Vedic system limits sense enjoyment to that which is attained through Vedic formulas. Despite a follower's selfish desires, his adherence to the Vedic injunctions is a step towards giving up his envy of Krishna and his sense of being independent of him. Arjuna, however, could think, 'I don't need yagyas, demigods, and opulent necessities of life. Nor must I perform yagyas to live. I will go to the forest and live by begging. I won't take from the demigods, so I won't be sinful by not offering yagyas to them. Not only won't I be a thief, but I won't take part in this ghastly, sinful warfare.'" And Krishna replies in the next two verses. So I spoke about the first few points that Burijan Prabhu was speaking about, and emphasize more on this part about the thief being punished by the state. You know, we're not per se being punished in a de facto manner as how a thief would be punished by the state. But we know that the material laws are so perfect. The law of karma is an infallible law. Everything that we need to be given to us is given to us. And if we use or abuse these amenities, the reactions will come back to us exactly the way they're supposed to. So that's why when we do things as performance of yajna or for the pleasure of Krishna, which is a yajna, we don't incur karma, good or bad, for this. And then, so then that helps us to not be thieves. And thieves who live within the world without repaying the demigods for the amenities they have used are punished by Yamaraj. So Arjuna is thinking, I don't need yajnas, demigods, or opulent necessities of life. And he thinks, I won't be sinful by not offering yajnas to them because I won't take anything from them. But that's kind of impossible, because we're already breathing, and there's a demigod in charge of our breath, of our prana. And there's already a demigod supplying the air, and Vayu is in charge of the air. We're already doing so many things, and willingly or unconsciously even, we don't know how many dues we have to pay back to the demigods. But it's said that one who has dedicated his life to the Supreme Lord, to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, does not have to go through all these sacrifices outlined in the Vedas, because they can perform the ultimate sacrifice, the Mahayagya, which is Sankirtan, the prescribed yagya for this age. Sankirtan yagya, or congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names. And Śrīla Prabhupāda speaks further on in the purport that a society of thieves can never be happy, because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have any knowledge of how to perform yajnas. So yajna performance is a very, very elaborate, a very specific formula that needs to be applied for different types of yajnas. Very specific materials, implements, articles for use in the yajna itself, articles for preparation, very specific mantras that need to be chanted by very specific brahmanas from very specific lineage, who have learnt or grown up in this kind of tradition, who can recite and perform these yajnas. And in Kali Yuga, we don't exactly have the capacity to perform such yajnas. And those are people who might even slightly be interested in understanding what a yajna is, or performance of a yajna is. What to speak of those who have no knowledge, no idea of yajna, of the concept of yajna, or how to perform it. And so even people on that level can still be performing the simplest of yajnas. We shouldn't think that the simplest of yajnas is a very light thing. It's said that by simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One who chants with faith, devotion, is said to perform or have gain the fruit of performing all Vedic sacrifices. It is said that all mantras are contained within the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. These 16 syllables, there's so much more to elaborate on than I can in this short time space. But the point I'd like to make is that Prabhupada very expressly says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated the easiest performance of yajna. He also says that Krishna consciousness is simple. It's simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. But the point is that we shouldn't take the process cheaply because it's said to be a simple or easiest performance of yajna. Everything that could be gained in different ages by the performance of yajnas, by different austerities, by severe sacrifice and penance, can now, in this age of Kali Yuga, this dark age of Kali Yuga, be attained by performance of Sankirtan, Sarkirtan Yajna. It's such a boon, such a blessing, such a benediction in this day and age. And it's something that we should all take advantage of, for sure. So that's the last point I'd like to cover. And I think we can have some discussion if you like. So take some questions, comments. Well, it depends, because one of the offenses that we recite, one of the 10 offenses, is that if we consider demigods to be, you know, on the same level as the Supreme Lord. So if you worship one of the demigods on the same level of the Supreme Lord, I'm not sure. Amara Gopala Prabhu, is that offensive? It sounds kind of contradictory, don't you think?
Thank you.
I mean, in a sense, I mean, I was just wondering as you were saying that, and I made a comment that it feels kind of contradictory, because for one who actually understands that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, why would he feel the necessity to go to anyone else but Krishna? Yes, obeisances is different from worship. From worship as the Supreme Lord. Worship is something that for devotees is exclusive to Krishna. As the Supreme Lord, yes. It's not that because you respectful of Gopeshwar Mahadev or that you offer him respect in some way that you are now worshipping him. No, you just Gopeshwar Mahadev, as my Gurudev mentions in some of his seminars about Vrindavan, Gopeshwar Mahadev is the bouncer. You cannot get past him. This word is bouncer. Basically, he is the person who is standing there firm and strong, and he will say who is allowed in and who's not. And he's protecting the Dham in that sense from miscreants and those who are not supposed to enter. This was the post given to him by the gopis, actually, because he wanted to be part of the rasa dance. And when he went there, he sort of bewildered them a little bit because he still looked like he resembled a very masculine gopi. So they asked him various questions like, "So, what is your name?" And he couldn't really give them very straightforward answers, you know, "Where are you from? Who are your parents? Which village, you know?" Da, da, da. And he was like, "I don't know." So they felt he was very weird in that kind of sense, very strange, this gopi. And so there was some intervention, and he was given the post as someone who, you know, protects the Rasalila in the sense that he protects the Dham, the place where the pastimes take place. And I mean, it's a wonderful position to have in the Lord's Lila. The point is that Krishna is still the focus. Krishna is still the supreme. You know, we don't deviate from there and start to worship Lord Shiva himself. Mm-hmm. Lord Shiva himself wants to be part of Krishna's Leela. He wants to be part of such a Leela. So he takes up such a position. But it's not that we now give up the worship of Krishna or have a many-branched approach to our worship of Krishna. I hope that's something. I mean, we all have so many weird desires that keep coming up. But still, you know, akama sarva kamo vam moksha kama udarili devrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So even if we're full of material desires, or we desire list, the point is we still should approach Krishna. For anything, we should still approach him. So, I mean, I find it a little bit difficult when someone says that Krishna, or declares that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but still feels a necessity to go to somebody else for something. You know, devotees generally have the mood that Krishna is my Lord, he's my shelter, he's my everything. He's actually the only thing that I have. And I'll go to him for anything and everything that I would need. I don't know. I mean, coming from a background where demigod worship is something that we did. I did. But I never felt as sheltered or secure and happy as I did when I took shelter of Krishna. One Lord who says that you should take shelter of him and have no fear about doing it. So for me, those kind of messages from Krishna are very very strong, very powerful. I don't feel the need to go to anyone else for anything, even though I may have stupid material desires. He's my Lord, he's my shelter, so I'll go to him. Okay, thank you very much. Sharpapad ki, Kansara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Go, Grandma. Thank you.